Greetings and welcome to another episode of Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And today, you know, like as we like to do every season of Soundography, we have a country band or an artist. And this year, no exception, or this season, no exception, the Zac Brown Band, or Zac Brown. I don't know, are we calling this Zac Brown or Zac Brown Band? Because some of the stuff that we're doing is solo Zac Brown.
I think it's as long as he's involved, I think it all counts.
Okay. Well, yeah, sure. Well, I mean, it all counts, but we'll call it the Zac Brown Band because that's kind of the current iteration and really where they made most of their name for themselves. Yeah. The Zac Brown Band, a country band from Atlanta. And I'm going to just jump right out, pull the Band-Aid off and say, I started liking this about halfway through his library, at least his current library, and it's for a very easy reason to guess, is that it's about halfway through his library that he kind of switches from that new country sound to a very blues rock country sound, almost like a Y'alternative or a country crossover.
Yeah. No, I had similar feelings. I think I might be a larger fan of bluegrass. Mm-hmm. Than you might be. And yeah, he had a lot of bluegrass influences in the beginning. And then he moved into things that were heavier and a little more bluesier, which I also really like. So I just started liking it even more.
I tend to like bluegrass covers, right? Bluegrass covers, but not so much bluegrass originals. And I guess that makes me a poser, like a bluegrass like and poser, because I only like when it's something not original.
So I'm going to get you a disc. It's called, Simplify, and it's by Ryan Shoup and the Rubber Band, and it might change your opinion.
Oh, I know Ryan Shoup. I know of Ryan Shoup. What have I played by Ryan Shoup?
The Devil Went Down to Georgia. It was on a cover-thon.
That's what it was. Yep, exactly. Good old Ryan Shoup. Yeah. Excellent. Well, let's get talking about these guys. The Zac Brown lineup, as you might guess, features Zac Brown. He's on lead vocals and guitar. Jimmy DeMartini on fiddle and vocals. John Driscoll Hopkins on bass and other guitars, banjo, uke, and vocals. Corey Bowles on guitars and keys. Chris Fryer on drums. Clay Cook, additional keyboards, mandolin, steel guitar. And Matt Mangiano on bass. And Daniel De La Reyes on percussion. The Zac Brown conglomerate.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny. When I saw Jimmy DeMartini, I instantly started wondering if he was related to Warren DeMartini, the guitar shredding god from Rat.
And is he?
I don't know. I didn't get that far.
Oh.
Someone else can look that up.
Yeah. That's funny. How many DeMartinis could there be, right?
Yeah, really. Especially in the music biz.
Right. They've collaborated with bands like Alan Jackson, Jimmy Buffett, Kid Rock, Amos Lee, The String Cheese Incident, Trombone Shorty, Jason Mraz, Dave Grohl, Chris Cornell, and Avicii, just to name a bunch. We'll even talk about more collaborations later on in the show. In 2004, the launch of the band was Far From Einstein, spelled E-I-N-S-T-Y-N-E, an early release as he was developing his style and musical voice.
Okay. I typed it. I've listened to it.
Yeah.
I just now figured out the title of the album.
Because you hear it out loud, because you've only typed it. Yeah. No,
I was trying to make it some town in the South. Some, you know, no gas station, no street light, no paved roads, hick town.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like it would be. It's funny that this comes up because today as I was driving around, I was thinking that I wanted to form a fake rap group or a fake rap artist named Bad Spella. It'd be B-A-D-D-S-P-E-L-L-A.
See, I feel like that could be a nerdcore guy really, really easily. It could
be. Oh, totally a nerdcore guy. Yeah, no kidding. Bad Spella. Yeah, easily would fit with that.
Yep. He could open for MC Lars and MC Front a lot.
Exactly. Fit right in. He'd open for both of those guys. In 2005, he released the album Homegrown. This was recorded in his Hopkins home studio, Brighter Shade Studios. I get burned someday. I can finally make it home. But these wheels keep on taking me
and just don't know when they'll finally stop.
Followed up in 2007 with Live from the Rock Bus.
So he was doing a lot of really hardcore touring in regional areas in this time and was gaining a huge following. It was kind of ridiculous how fast and how strong the following was growing and becoming with those early two albums and all that regional touring he was doing.
Well, it definitely makes sense because you don't release a live album unless you've got a big fan base or a ton of albums under your belt. And he didn't have the latter, so he must have had the former to be able to support having a live album. And that's great. That's kind of the way you'd want it to go, right? Like having discs for sale at your shows, just kind of starting out with only a couple albums under your belt. I mean, that would be a similar situation. Hopkins stepped in on bass on the band's soon-to-be number one song, Toes.
Hey, Brian, what do you call a guy who has a rubber toe?
I don't know.
Roberto.
Oh, jeez. Okay, good. In 2008, they released the album The Foundation. That song, Toes, was the second single from this album, and it sold 3.4 million copies in the U.S., the album did. It contained five singles, Chicken Fried, Whatever It Is, Toes, Highway 20 Ride, and Free.
And all of them did super well on the charts.
I can see why. They're all solid singles. I really, really like Chicken Fried. Not enough to put in my playlist. I found songs I liked more, but it was a good, you know, out of the early, very country, new country albums, there were only a couple songs that I really liked. Chicken Fried was one of them.
I also feel like Chicken Fried probably would be one of their hits.
Oh, for sure. If it's not, I mean, I assumed it was because it's one of the first songs you see listed in like their greatest hits, their essentials. I was just assuming that that was the case. So yeah, I couldn't have used it. I see what you're saying. I couldn't have even used it if I tried. Fair enough. The album charted twice, once with the original release and again when it was re-released in 2010, assuming now, with a big massive.
And how many artists can have that happen, especially nowadays?
Right, yeah. It's usually tied with like a re-release that's got a bunch of extra tracks on it. But even then, charting a second time is rare. Having some good sales the second time is not. But yeah, no, you're not wrong. Zac Brown signed with Live Nation Artist Records in 2008. The major label debut single was Chicken Fried, the aforementioned Chicken Fried. It was originally on Homegrown, but was re-recorded and released to country radio stations in 2008. He followed that album up with Live from Bonnaroo 2009, an EP. And he also...
And we learned about the history of Bonnaroo just a couple weeks ago from Dr. Jones.
We did, yes, Bonnaroo. Zach appeared on the third episode of HBO's Sonic Highways talking about another version of Chicken Fried that had been recorded and released and subsequently pulled. Pulled chicken. The other band was The Lost Trailers.
So that's an interesting story. He had sold the song to The Lost Trailers. Mm-hmm. They had recorded a version. It had gotten released. He had heard it on the radio. They signed, and then he went and had it pulled so they could release their version of it.
It's surprising that they could do that. I mean, I guess it's his song.
It was kind of a legal battle, according to what I was reading. Okay. It wasn't easy.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Did you watch Sonic Highways?
No, I'm surprised I didn't because I heard a lot about it, and I love stuff like that. So, no, I did not.
I didn't either, and I don't know why I didn't. I think I was just waiting for it all to be done so I could binge watch it.
Maybe.
And here we are.
Yes. Time to binge watch it. Let's see. In the fall of 2008, Atlantic Records picked up the band after Live Nation Artists closed.
Okay, was that the Live Nation that did the live touring and the...
I'm thinking it is. Yeah, I'm thinking it's all part of the same thing.
Okay.
I mean, Live Nation Artists, yeah, it must be. Because that seems like too close. There would have to be some legal issues if two entities like that were using the name Live Nation. Yeah. So I'd say it would have to be. The Foundation was re-released, and with a push from the label, Chicken Fried reached number one. And it was followed by Past the Jar, which was released in 2010. It was another live album, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep. In 2010 also, they released the album You Get What You Give. This was also partially recorded at Brighter Shade Studios. Alan Jackson appears on the album in a duet for As She's Walking Away. That was the first single from the album.
Walking away, and my heart won't tell my mind to tell my mouth what it should say. May have lost this battle, live to fight another day. Now I'm falling in love as she's walking away.
Colder Weather, Keep Me in Mind, and Knee Deep were all singles and were received well on the charts and received well with the critics, too. When it was released, it outsold Maroon 5's Hands All Over, coming in at 142,000. This one, You Get What You Give, sold 153,000, making it number one on the Billboard Hot Top 200.
I don't know much about Maroon 5. It might be one we have to cover at some point. Is that something that could be easily done? Is that like a accomplishment?
No, because Hands All Over, I mean, this was a big album. This is a third or fourth album from Maroon 5. They'd already established a bunch of hits, so anticipation would be really high for it. It's not like Songs About Jane, which was kind of their big debut. This has been a while. I'm trying to think what the big single was from Hands All Over. I think Sugar, maybe?
No.
What's that?
Oh, but honey, that
oh.
one.
Oh, yeah, no, not the Archies. Jeez. I should have figured that one out. 2012, they released the album Uncaged. Billboard called it the best country album of the year. Zac Brown himself called the album, quote, your basic country, southern rock, bluegrass, reggae jam record, saying, quote, it's really about making people dance. You just don't let them go. There's a lot of songs on the record that when we play them live, we'll extend them out long. But it's really just about grabbing people on that pulse and not letting them go that entire song.
I'm wondering how much modern production values and kind of modern songwriting techniques have gone into them creating a sonic soundscape live. So it's less of a country concert and more of like a, I don't want to call it a rave, but it feels like it's more of a party.
Sure. No, it definitely does feel, you know, and that's probably that reggae jam kind of sound. Obviously not having seen them in concert, I don't know, but I bet that's where a lot of that stuff kind of fits in.
Yeah.
When released, it again entered at number one on the album charts, and critics love the album's genre-bending style and presentation.
Which is pretty nuts that, I mean, with all the things that are out there, that a country band that, frankly, until 2 months ago, I hadn't even heard of, mm-hmm. has had albums enter the charts at number one on the Billboard Top 200.
Doesn't surprise me, because country fans glom onto an artist. At least it's my assumption, or not my assumption, but what I imagine it's like, seeing guys like Luke Bryan just rocket to the top, and Carrie Underwood, Garth Brooks, who we talked about. Seems like country fans get onto something like that, and then they just go, boom, hog wild into it, no pun intended, and push these things to the top ranks.
Yeah.
And probably more so than any other genre of music. I don't know why that is. Like a loyalty thing, maybe.
The Dream Theater has that.
Of course they do. In 2013, they released The Grohl Sessions, Volume 1. This was an EP that they worked together with Dave Grohl on. The single All Right was released.
And you cut me down. No wind on a garden growing. You made me think you were mine, and you changed your mind. I'm lost at
the end. It's really good stuff, actually. Listen to that right before the show. And this would probably be the turning point for me from, like, Uncaged, meh. But then it was everything released after Uncaged that I really started to connect with.
So it's funny. Mm-hmm. Dave Grohl has had an impact on two bands we've covered. Can you name, do you remember the other one?
Oh, the other one would be Weezer? No, who was it?
Ghost.
Oh, Ghost, that's right. Yes. And yeah, we are going to be covering the Foo Fighters too, who he had a really strong influence on their sound as well.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
being the founder of the band.
So also, I'm going to include on Letterman, they covered War Pigs by Black Sabbath with Dave Grohl. And I like it so much that I'm actually going to put a sample of it right about here in the show. The
machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh Lord, yeah.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, that they did such a great job with that. Very cool. The next year, they released Greatest Hits So Far in 2014, and they followed it up with another studio release, Jekyll and Hyde. The song Homegrown was the lead single from this album. The album features various influences from other musical styles, including rock, EDM, Celtic, reggae, pop, and jazz.
Lay back and smell the sun, warm up the Georgia pie. Feels so good to be taking it.
And this for me was when I really started to enjoy the music this week. I thought the stuff before it was all right. Definitely, what's the word? Like they've got the chops, right? They've got the music chops. It's just not my style of music until they got to Jekyll and Hyde, and then I was hooked in.
I kind of have to admit the same thing. I was not disliking it, but mm-hmm. I was also not thinking, oh, this is going to end up on my phone, or I'm going to make sure this ends up in my iTunes, up until Uncaged. Then once Uncaged hit, I'm like, okay, I can see some evolution. Then they started doing the Grohl sessions, and I'm like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
And then Jekyll and Hyde came out, and it actually was one of my favorite things I listened to, probably maybe even the season.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Yeah, it's really good. I definitely dig it. And it's a dramatic change. And I'm wondering how that went over with fans. If that was you're not sounding the same way that you used to, and we're not as big fans of your music anymore. Or if there was appreciation by the fans of like, all right, you're kind of exploring these new areas. You know, we talk about this all the time on this show, whether it's better to stay consistent as a band or evolve, let your music evolve. And I don't know the answer to that.
I kind of think they did okay because the next album entered the charts at number 2. So maybe they were a little upset, but not upset enough to stop buying.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. The single Heavy is the Head featured the late, great Chris Cornell. Yeah, a lot of great vocals. I want to say, was it Florence? From Florence and the Machine is on this one, or she's... Later, Sarah Bareilles is on this one. I think Florence appears on a later track. Mm. 2017, they released the album Welcome Home. My Old Man was the first single that was released from this album, and they followed it up with a song called Roots.
Was a six string, took him with me everywhere I go. When I was 18, bought a Dodge van, found a drummer and made the road my home. I wouldn't change a thing. It made the man I am.
The album entered the charts at number 2 on the Billboard album charts. And then last year, they released a brand new single called Someone I Used to Know. And the video is good, says Hammond. Thumbs up.
No. So here's the thing is I heard them on Kimmel or on Fallon. I can't remember which one. It was one of the Jimmys.
Yeah, there's and, Jimmy, two Jimmys and a James.
Yeah, two Jimmys, and I saw them play, and it took about halfway through the song for me to realize it was a country song. I thought it was just kind of a kind of a tinged pop song, but then I realized it was a country tune.
Interesting.
And I really, really liked it. And then I saw that video, and the video was kind of heartstring tugging. And so I'm like, wow, these guys are something, which made me push to do them this season because I figured based on one song, I was kind of sold.
Yeah. Well, that's a cool thing too, because you and I then are both coming into this blind, unlike a lot of stuff where either you're pulling into it or I'm pulling into it with a lot of advanced knowledge and experience with it.
Yeah.
So
Well, you came in with more than I did because you knew all about their covers.
That's all I knew, though. I mean, you know, and their covers are like on compilation albums. So, you know, even then it's like barely like, oh, yeah, I guess I know them because I have a couple of their songs. But
to be fair, and we're kind of jumping ahead a little bit, they've covered everything.
They have. Well, you said that earlier this week. And I mean, I found a few things, but
believe me.
Really?
I did
probably a lot digging. On live
we'll
stuff.
We'll see it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see it.
All right, cool. Ooh, can't wait to hear. But let's kind of, before we get to that, let's talk about statistics and general notes.
Okay. They've charted 16 singles on the country charts, and 13 of those have been number ones.
Oh, wow. Jeez. Okay.
They have won Best New Artist, Best New Vocal Group, Best Video, Artist of the Year, Song of the Year, and tons of other things. The list of awards would have taken me longer to read than it did to get us to this point in the show.
Wow, okay.
So if you're really that interested, just go to Wikipedia and take a look, because they've won or been nominated for about everything. I keep waiting for them to, like, Best Metal Performance.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, if Jethro Tull can do it, certainly these guys can.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny.
Oh, and then between 2009 and 2018, they won 8 Grammy Awards.
Wow. Wow. That's cool. Just in the country category?
I didn't.
I mean, I guess some of these were the Best New Artist and Best New Vocal Group and stuff. So I guess there's a few of those. Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. I can see why. I mean, again, not quite my style of music at the beginning, but certainly got into it. And so maybe it's just that we can do it all really well kind of thing that attracts a variety of critics and audiences.
Yeah. I also think, too, that they're doing a good job growing up. So they're evolving and growing up in some very dynamic ways, but also very subtle ways. Mm-hmm. And I think they're growing up with their audience. And by doing that, they're also pulling in a lot more people and being a lot wider. But like, as you said, we've covered a fair amount of country artists now, at least, what, 6 mm-hmm. now? Mm-hmm. And by far and away, these are my favorite.
Yeah, I think so. Because I'm thinking back, definitely more than Reba, more than Garth Brooks for me. I think more than Patsy Cline. Mm-hmm. Who else did we... those are the biggies that I remember. Who else did we do?
But yeah, they're far and away my favorite.
Yeah, I think mine too. If not very, very close second. Drive-By
Trucker is a close second.
Yeah.
With which one?
I was going to say, if they're not my favorite, then they're at least a very close second, probably, to Drive-By Truckers. Or there's some aspects of Patsy Cline that I just really enjoyed that week.
Yeah, I did too. It was very nostalgic mm-hmm. and kind of innocent. But as far as things I'm going to listen to, she's less likely for me to have pop up and go, oh, Patsy Cline.
Right, yes.
Hell yeah.
I totally get that. For sure. All right. Well, let's talk about their Stairway to Heaven song. So neither of us have seen them in concert. They put out a lot of concert albums. But what song would we expect that they would always do in concert? And I think we kind of already alluded to this, but you tell me. What are our choices?
So Toes, Knee Deep, She's Walking Away, and I can't see how Chicken Fried isn't the one.
It has to be Chicken Fried.
Child, no mother's love. Well, I was raised up beneath the shade of a Georgia pine, and that's home.
Pulling up artist statistics, and it's Chicken Fried. Wow, it looked like pretty well ahead of everything else. 518 plays in concert. Toes right behind it, 498. Colder Weather, Knee Deep, Keep Me in Mind, The Devil Went Down to Georgia, of course, As She's Walking Away, Free / Into the Mystic, which was almost my pick for my playlist, Sweet Annie and Uncaged to wrap up the top 10. Let's look at some of the covers they do live, though. Enter Sandman by Metallica, Kashmir by Led Zeppelin, Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. That's interesting. Can't You See by Marshall Tucker, What That Woman's Been Doing to Me. Whippin' Post by the Allman Brothers, Use Somebody by Kings of Leon. Now I'm starting to see what you mean. Holy cow. Sweet Emotion, Jolene, Piano Man, Seven Bridges Road. Ooh, boy, I almost picked that for my song they should cover. Guess we'll get to that too. Ants Marching by Dave Matthews. Wow. All Apologies by Nirvana.
I told you.
Yeah, you win. They've done a ton of, and these aren't just like one shots. Like Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb, they've covered 32 times in concert.
When I found a list like that, I kept looking for You're in Love by Rat and Rhapsody in Blue.
Yeah, Let's Go Crazy by Prince, Sabotage by Beastie Boys. All right, why aren't these guys need to put out a cover album of their live tracks? Won't Back Down by Tom Petty, Jack and Diane, Fox on the Run. Wow. Okay. These are
see what I mean. Geez,
and I'm still scrolling through Waterfalls, Despacito. Good Lord. But One Love by Bob Marley and the Wailers.
Okay, you skipped over the Waterfalls. That's the TLC one. Yeah. Let's make sure everyone understands that.
Did I not say that is the TLC's Waterfalls? Yeah.
No, you just said Waterfalls and kept going. I just wanted to make sure. I wanted everyone to kind of sit with that one for a second.
Sit and appreciate that for a moment. Yeah. Crazy. Oh, and then they did like a medley. They've done this three times. Cult of Personality, Benny and the Jets, Tush, Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again, Black Magic Woman, Baby Got Back, Thunderstruck, and Sabotage. That is all one medley. Oh my God. And another one I almost included. I better check and make sure they haven't done the one that I did include, but they did, the Eagles, Hotel California, Take It Easy. I'm going to really quickly check to make sure. Okay, good. Yeah. The one I chose is not in the list. Phew, but probably will be by the time we release this episode, judging by the way that they go through covers.
I know, that's the way I felt when I picked mine.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I'm still scrolling and seeing stuff. Jeez. And some really like Zombie by the Cranberries. No Woman, No Cry, again, Bob Marley. Sweet Caroline, Yellow by Coldplay. All right. Wow. It kind of makes me want to go see these guys in concert.
Dig
for covers. Panama, Whole Lot of Love, Foxy Lady, Pride and Joy, Smoke on the Water, Back in Black, and Sweet Home Alabama, as a medley. Damn. All right. Wow. I think I'm going to have to, I'd have to do some YouTube digging when we're done here.
And there's some, and to be fair, they're good enough musicians that these are not going to be knockoff crappy covers.
Right. Yes.
It's not going to be the Bay City Rollers doing Rhapsody.
Well, and certainly,
or not Rhapsody, or Bohemian
Rhapsody. Right. And certainly, seeing what I've picked for songs in the list. I mean, I know they can do solid covers, so. That's not that's totally not a surprise for this. Well, speaking of covers, as we have for the last hour, let's talk about who we'd like to hear them cover. And I'll go first because the sooner I get this out, the sooner somebody can find somebody can spend some time finding a version where they've already done it. But prior to this, didn't even know they'd covered the Eagles. They've covered them a lot. But they have not covered, to my knowledge, Lion Eyes, which is one of my favorite songs by the Eagles as far as the harmonies go. Because, man, you know, tight harmonies with the Eagles, and I'm sure with Zac Brown Band as well, it would be just an amazing set of harmonies. So that would be my pick. I'd love to hear them do that.
I had them leaning more into their rock and progressive side. And I had them covering King Crimson Fracture.
I didn't see a lot of prog in that list or any prog. So this is a good choice. I'd love to see. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, and believe me, I did dig in to make sure they hadn't covered like Elephant Talk or something just because it features a violin and with their ability to blend and use different styles, I would love to hear what they do with something like that because, you know, King Crimson gives a good solid proggy background, but once you have the music, you can do lots of things with it. And I think they really could run with it if they decided to.
Who was the violin player in King Crimson was like, wasn't it kind of a super group or was
Tony Levin, Robert Fripp.
Okay.
I cannot remember who their violin player was at the time, but they've had a few. Well, I just listened to a book called The Show That Never Ends, The History of Prog Music. It took me about a year to listen to. No, I'm kidding. It was a great book. It ran about 11 hours on Audible. It was a fantastic book, and it gave me such an insight into the mid-70s to the mid-80s prog scene, and there was a lot of King Crimson in there, and it made me have a big appreciation for the Emerson, Lake & Palmers, the Fripps, the Anderson, Wakeford, Bruford, and Howes of the world.
Yeah, I'm a layman. We can call it Yes.
No. They actually released an album called Anderson, Wakeford.
Because it was a licensing issue. They couldn't go under the name, right? Because the record label.
Yep, yeah, that's right.
I remember that.
Good album.
That's what I remember. I remember it being like a, didn't it have a hit? Because this was the follow-up to 90125.
It did have a hit. It did. And I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head.
Very good. Well, let's get to the playlists. This is where we pick a few songs and have you add those to the Greatest Hits album, because we know Chicken Fried is going to be right there on the Greatest Hits album. I don't think any of these are going to be, at least mine. First one comes from the Homegrown album, I believe. I forgot to write that down, but I believe it's the Homegrown album. The song is called It's Not Okay. I'm sorry, no, The Foundation. Did it come from? I think it came from The Foundation.
Yes, I wanted to tell him to go away, but I stood and listened to him anyway, okay? He said he didn't want to shoot that man, and it was his thing, and I wouldn't understand, and he had done all that he can, okay? Okay.
This one reminds me of the Johnny Cash song called One Piece at a Time, and in the song in which Johnny Cash steals a Cadillac working in the factory, but he smuggles it home one piece at a time in his lunchbox and then rebuilds it at home. But because it takes him so long, it's got, you know, the headlights from a 57 and the other headlight is from a 58 and
this reminds me of the episode of MASH where Klinger
he's trying to eat a Jeep.
No. He was trying to eat a Jeep. Who was trying to send a Jeep?
Oh, probably it could have been Klinger as well. Yeah, that's funny. But yeah, I love that song, and I love this which feels very inspired by that for sure. It's Not Okay, and it's got a mix of Zac Brown singing and talking. I assume it's him doing the talking as well. Next one is a cover, as are all the ones from this point. The first cover is Bad Moon Rising, a cover of the song by Creedence Clearwater Revival. This one actually comes from an album called Wrote a Song for You.
Hurricanes are blowing. I know the end is coming soon. I feel rivers overflowing. I hear the boys are raging, roaring. And don't go
around. Wrote a Song for Everyone. It's a John Fogerty album, so it's John Fogerty and the Zac Brown Band doing a cover of Bad Moon Rising, and it's a great, great updated version. That thing came out in 2013. It was really good. Speaking of 70s tracks getting recovered by Zac Brown, a tribute to Dan Fogelberg. Yes, a tribute. There is such a thing as a tribute to Dan Fogelberg. Which came out in 2017, includes this one, Leader of the Band. And it's not just like a, what song do you want to cover? I guess we'll cover it. If nobody else has got it, we'll do Leader of the Band.
His hands were meant for different work, but his heart was known and known. He left his home and went his lone and solitary way. And he gave to me a gift I know.
This one definitely feels like it's very personal to Zac Brown because he dedicates it to his father, and it's a song about Dan Fogelberg's father. And it was obviously recorded in Colorado, maybe even like Red Rocks. Great, great sound to it. But as soon as they mentioned Colorado, because that line is in the lyrics, the crowd just goes nuts. So,
well, Zac Brown is the leader of the band, so of course he'd be
well, right, okay, but he's never covered Leader of the Pack, and he's the leader of the Zac Brown Pack. So it's not just, he can't just cover things that he can use as a title. as a job title. The next one is an Elton John cover.
Hello, I said hello. Is this the only place that you thought to go? Am I the only man you ever had? Or am I just the last surviving friend? You know I...
It's Harmony, which was released on the 40th anniversary re-release of Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, Elton John's amazing album, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. And there were a few artists that contributed covers of songs, and it's usually stuff like the title track or Candle in the Wind or something like that. Very appropriately, they covered the song Harmony, and that is exactly what they do in the song. It's really, really cool. And then my last one, my fifth choice, is from a Doobie Brothers album called Southbound. And it came out in 2014, and it finds the Doobie Brothers again joining forces with a bunch of different modern artists doing covers of their own songs, and they cover Black Water with the Zac Brown Band, and it's again another perfect match because of the harmonies that that these guys are able to do. Really, really good tribute right there.
Well, when you have like nine guys in your band and seven of them sing, of course you're going to be able to.
It's either that or you do a, you do a thing. I'm trying to think of a good example of this where, oh, like Beautiful South, where you have different songs sung by the different people. And I think I like the harmony approach for these guys a lot better.
Either you're the Zac Brown Band or you're Slipknot.
Right. Do they have a lot of singers in Slipknot? I just know they have a lot of guys in Slipknot.
They have two, but they have a lot of people.
Ah, yeah. Makes sense.
Actually, I think they only have one. I think Corey's the only vocalist now. Mm. Well, I could say you're Mushroom Head because they have three right now.
All right. Tell me yours.
All right. So I picked someone I used to know. Mm-hmm. It's the song that got me turned on to these guys. It's the reason why I pushed to cover them. And I don't regret it. I kind of regretted Tears for Fears a little bit because I was kind of shocked at the fact that the things that weren't hits
weren't as good. Me. Yeah, it didn't connect with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be it this, early albums were a little harder to take, but once I got into the flow, I thoroughly enjoyed this week. And it's all because of this song. The next one is Junkyard from Jekyll and Hyde. I love the grungy guitar against the clean vocals and banjo.
Yes. And did you catch the cover that this contains?
I did not. What was
so
it?
So it's the guitar bit where it's about 4 or 5 minutes in, there's this long instrumental guitar break, and it's Bring the Boys Back Home by Pink Floyd. It's the instrumental part of that song getting covered in here, and it's really, really cool.
So it's funny, you say that, and I remember thinking, that sounds really familiar. Mm-hmm. But I also thought that, you know how sometimes you hear a song and you feel like you've heard it before, but you haven't?
Yes. Yep. That was it. That's what you had, like almost like a Mandela effect, deja vu kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I thought it was just they'd hit a melody that, you know, hit my soul. Mm-hmm. I didn't know they'd, you know, hit Pink Floyd.
That's right.
The next one is, we mentioned it earlier in the episode, Heavy is the Head from Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
This is basically a song that Soundgarden didn't write.
Right.
And if they had written it, it would have been after they'd gone to a rodeo.
Yes. I just wish I could have seen Soundgarden at the rodeo.
Yeah, it's really good, but there's a definite country hint to it through all the grunginess.
But not as strong of one as you might think hearing it's Zac Brown and Chris Cornell. You know, like,
yeah, exactly. There's
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go.
It's, you know, it's a solid grunge track with, like, for me, just a little hint of country.
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. I said, they went to a rodeo. They maybe had a couple, you know, Keystone Lights.
It's grunge with a little bit of gravy on it.
The next one I picked was Day for the Dead, and it's from the Dave Grohl Sessions. This is just a cool song. Yeah. I love how it fills the room in your head. And it's a full sounding song that I ended up listening to like two or three times in a row. And I really, really enjoyed
that.
Cool.
It's a great EP. I mean, I barely got a good solid taste of it, but really, really liked what I've heard.
I think that you'll go back and revisit that one just because, yeah. Then I picked Island Song from Uncaged. I'ma keep playing this music that you hear, and if you know the song, then come sing along with me. Walking with the beach to my left, seat to my right, and I'ma get faded at the tiki bar tonight. Then I'ma ruin up like my name is Bob. Yeah, I'm gonna party. And this is another one of those genre breaking songs. And it basically is like, it's almost calypso country. And it made me want to go to the beach.
Did this one have Jimmy Buffett helping him out with it? Or am I just imagining it did?
It might have. I didn't see anything that said it did, but it totally sounded like they were getting ready to hit Margaritaville.
Right.
It sounded like it really did sound like they were just somewhere in the Caribbean sucking on pina coladas and Mai Tais.
Right. Yo, Knee Deep is the one that features Jimmy Buffett.
Okay. And that's my five. So that's 10. And I think we covered a lot of different parts of Zac Brown in our 10.
I think we did. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I really did enjoy it. Like I said, especially the last half, but still I enjoyed it a lot more than I was expecting to with it being a country artist for sure.
I'm worried about next week.
Well, you should be if we were really doing Rick Astley, but we're not. That was a little bit of a Rick roll. We're doing John Astley, and probably the one thing that people will absolutely recognize by John Astley are the first opening notes of the song Jane's Getting Serious, which was used by Heinz Ketchup in an advertisement, and to kind of symbolize how slow the ketchup travels. John Astley's another one of these guys that I really like because he's a very talented songwriter, lyric writer. So I'm hoping that comes through in all the stuff that we listen to. Also, he doesn't have a lot of albums. I think he's like three or four albums. So yes, it'll be really cool to listen to a nice short set this this time around, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's been a lot of work going on, and it'll be nice to have it be short. Yeah,
for sure. Yes. So let's say you want to get in touch with us. Let's just say that. Well, you want to get in touch with us. Here's the way you're going to do it. You're going to email us either soundographypodcast@gmail.com, or you're going to send us a message on Twitter. Just follow us. We talk about stuff all the time at The Soundography. Our website is soundography.com. We've got on our website, we got playlists for every show that we've done that you can click through and actually listen to them on Spotify if they're available. We also provide links where you can buy songs. I think I'll link to probably the greatest hits so far. That's a good well-rounded collection. You'll find a link on Amazon. By the way, when you purchase stuff using those links, those Amazon links, it really helps us out. You'll also find a way to really support us or to really help us out by supporting us on Patreon. Hey, give us $1 a month. maybe $2 a month, whatever you can afford to spare and throw in our open guitar case in front of us. You'll find more about that by going to patreon.com/soundography. And the free way to support us is by leaving good reviews. If you like what you hear, leave those reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your stuff. Google Play. I always forget to say Google Play, but people should, you know, if you're an Android user, leave us a review on Google Play.
Yeah. It's a viable format from what I hear.
That's right. And I'd say yeehaw to close out this episode, but, you know, it doesn't seem appropriate with the back half of his catalog. So
no, it feels more like I need to throw up the devil horns and ride
that's
a cow.
Right. Yeah. Do the headbang and cow horns. that is going to do it for this edition of Soundography. On behalf of Hemant Chamberlain, this is Brandon saying we'll see you next time right here on Soundography.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.